In Revelation 3, and it's verse number 11. I'll quote it to you. It says, "Behold," Jesus said, "I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Let me say that once again. Jesus said this in Revelation 3, 11. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Amen. Now keep in mind that the words of Jesus Christ were spoken to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. And if you know which church it is, raise your hand. Some of you do. Well, it was the church at Philadelphia. And that was a great church, doing a great work. Now, a great church is not defined by numbers. Dr. Jack Hiles was given a testimony, and he said he went to a little church, and the head of the chapel, when he gave that testimony about preaching at a little church, he said, "There is no little church. Every church is a great church if it's God's church." And he said, Brother Hiles said, "I learned that lesson right then and there." And this is a great church, the church at Philadelphia. And it points in prophecy to those type of churches that are like that original church, a Philadelphian type church. And by the way, as we're preaching on Wednesday night, the Philadelphian type church is a church that will be here when Jesus Christ comes back. There will be those churches, and it points to those kind of churches which will be fully functional when Jesus comes back. And it's a church, get this, where the members are moving with the gospel. They are taking advantage of open doors. I appreciated what was shared tonight about going out, and then he felt like the Spirit of God would have him to go back in and witness to that young lady, and she prayed to receive Christ. I appreciate that sensitivity, and God wants more of that. That's the kind of church that is a Philadelphian kind of church. It's people that are sensitive to speak and to go through the open door of opportunity with the gospel and give the gospel. And of course, you've got to know how to give the gospel and to give it clearly. And thank God for this church, where many people are doing that in our church and are asking people those two questions, and what a blessing that is. That's the type of church that this scripture is addressed to. And it's a church that had the Bible. They had an every word Bible. The Bible was their final authority. And they stood on the word of God. They read the Bible. They believed the Bible. They were a Bible-believing church. Praise God for that. So they were a witnessing church. They were a Bible-believing church. And another thing about this church is they learned to depend on the Lord's strength, not their own. They learned to depend on, and I appreciate the testimony Diane gave tonight. She prayed. She had a tough day Thursday. She felt weak. And when you're weak, then you're what? Strong. And you know, people that are weak in themselves can be strong in the Lord. And praying for God's strength, and then God answering that prayer and helping. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said when he went into the pulpit and he felt weak, he would be strong oftentimes. And he would be surprised because the Lord's strength was there. I can remember going in the pulpit in the early church here, and I was strong going into the pulpit. I was loud going into the pulpit. And by the time I was done with that message, I was barely able to speak. I was ready to pass out. I thought I was going to pass out. See, I went in strong and I came out weak. Amen? You know, March, it goes in like a lion oftentimes and goes out like a lamb. When you go in strong, you're weak, but you go in weak and you can be strong. You take your weakness to God. And so this is the kind of church that this scripture is addressed to. He's saying to a Philadelphian church, and I see a lot of that in this church. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. In other words, what he's saying is, this church, I have no criticism for you. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm going to encourage you. Luke, come on up here. You've seen me do this again and again and again and again. How many times have I done this? You know what I'm going to do, Luke. You're going to walk that way, right? And well, not so fast. You're going so fast. All right, let's slow this message down. We got time, Luke. All right, now you're going to walk there slowly. And then you know what you're going to do, right? You don't? I'll be nice to you. He knows all too well. All right, go ahead and walk. And I'm encouraging him. I'm encouraging him. I'm encouraging him. Turn around. Bam. All right. Thank you, Dr. Luke. Give him a hand. He. But here is the Philadelphian church, and the Lord is encouraging you. You know what? The devil will discourage you when you're doing good. Right. Let me say that one again. The devil will discourage you when you're doing good. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I have more trouble with the devil when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit than when I'm worldly. And I have trouble. And the Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil. Why do you have to resist the devil? Because you just submitted to God. And God's working through you. And now the devil will attack you. And you say, oh man, that's always going to come from outside the church, right? Wrong. It'll often come from a carnal Christian. Right. You know, Peter was carnal. And he was trying to tell Jesus what he thought Jesus ought to do. And Jesus was doing just exactly what God wanted him to do. Now, you might accuse Jesus of being stubborn. You say, what are you talking about? What did the Bible say when it came to Jesus, when Peter told him, he told him not to do what he was doing. But Jesus, what did it do? What did you know? What I want one of the men to help me out, but I don't want to walk too far.
He said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes, but when he said, get thee behind me, Satan, what was it that Jesus was doing that somebody might say, well, you're stubborn. You're proud. You're stubborn.
He had his face set like flint.
Oh, I like that. His face was set like a flint. Here he is. You say, he's proud. He's stubborn. No, he's following the God's will. And he's confident in God's will. You know, when God called me to preach, I was timid. I was afraid. He took me to Joshua 1, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And he took me to Joshua 1, don't be afraid. Took me to Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Then he took me to Ezekiel 3, and the Holy Spirit of God applied on my heart, I made your forehead like an adamant stone. He said, I've given you a hard head. You know why you need a hard head? Because you've got a lot of people that will try to talk you out of something good. And you need to have a hard head. And God chose me and gave me a hard head. Amen. I trust a soft heart and a hard head. You don't need a hard heart. You don't need to be a hard-hearted horse head, right, Jesse? We don't want that. But a hard head and a soft heart. And that is so important. And I'm telling you, the Philadelphian church is a church. The Philadelphian church was a church that was in the right way, going the right way. And yet that church got a warning from the Lord. And I believe we have a Philadelphian church tonight. And I believe you have an opportunity to be a Philadelphian type Christian, because the Bible says here, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. It's not just the church, but it's the individual member of the church that's important. Because a chain is only as strong as its what? Weakest link. And the devil will go after the weak ones. He'll go after the weak in the flock and try to pull them away from what God wants. Try to pull you away from doing what God wants you to do. And in doing that, listen to me, he can take your crown. And God doesn't want you to let any man take the crown. That's what the name of the message is tonight. Don't let any person take your crown. And it's in the form of a warning now to those that are you're moving in the right direction. And I'll say it again. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. What did Matt say tonight? Life is short like his hair. Amen. And it is true. Life is very short. Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back. It's going to be on you quickly when he comes. It's just going to see. I don't know about you, but I think life just goes by quickly. And my grandma said, the older you get, the faster life goes. You know, we were just having a watch night, and now we're jumping into March. Amen. And pretty soon it'll be summer, and then, boom, we'll be into Thanksgiving, Brother Joe. And then it just goes and goes. It gets faster and faster. Behold, I come quickly. But don't let anybody tonight take your crown. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. You know what? You're in a great church. Amen? Amen. You're doing a great work tonight. This is a great work. This is the place. Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. We're doing a great work. People say, I want to go out to Kentucky. I want to stay right here. God is here. I want to seek God while he may be found. I want to call upon him right here, right now. I want to serve God. Amen? I want to serve God. And so I'm saying to you tonight, don't let anyone take your crown. And the Lord gives that warning to this kind of church. Now, you may say, you know, you're the man of God with the message of the Lord Jesus. What is the warning? Well, it's contained in verse 11. Don't let any person, get this, take your crown. I mentioned this morning, I'll say it again tonight. I was talking to somebody in the church, giving them counsel. And I was saying to that person that your problem is this person. And I named a name. I said, your problem is this person, not a member of our church. This person is somebody outside the church, not walking with God, but you've embraced that person as a close friend. Listen, people can distract you. Right. I have said it. There's three things that can get a guy: ladies, lucre, and liquor. And people, men or women, they can distract you. And they can pull you away from God's purpose for your life. The Bible says in Proverbs, if you walk with the wise, you'll be what? Wise. You need to walk with the wise. And your friends and those around you, it's very important who or what you choose to influence you. You know what? You don't want to have the wrong music influence you. Music is a powerful force. And you need to have the right music. And my daughter just got my Bluetooth fixed up and set up. And I'm trying to listen to good music on that with the Bluetooth. She helped me out with that. But I want to get with Brother Z here because he's going to help me put some good radio stations on there. I need these millennials to help me with the technology, right? Because I want to be set. So if you're like me, a boomer, go to a millennial, get the right music, get the right stuff there. And we got a church app now. You can listen to my favorite preacher on that app. You just click onto it and you choose what's going to influence you. What I'm saying to you tonight is don't let any person take your crown. Choose the right friend. Not only get rid of the wrong friends, but get the right friends. That was the thing that turned my life. I had Christian friends. I was in Bible college, but I had carnal Christian friends. They were not leading me in the right way. They were not bad people, good people, but not the best. Amen? The good can be the enemy of the best in your life. Did you hear me? The good can be the enemy of the best. And so I had to choose the best, and it changed the whole direction of my life. Friends are so important, and we need to be those people. I appreciate Brother Sarge. He hangs around Deacon Steve a little bit here and there, and he's got his family back there, the Ganos. He loves the Ganos, and what a blessing that is. And Brother Sarge was telling me that I checked on him this morning. I said, is this done? Is that done? Is this done? Everything that Steve does, he did. He did it all. It was all done. Amen? So it's good to get around somebody and learn from them, and you can carry out what they're doing, and make no mistake about it. It may seem a small thing, but God will reward it. Jesus said, even a cup of cold water, he will reward, done properly and in his name. And so we don't want anybody... We don't want anybody to take your crown. You say, well, what do you mean by a crown? A crown has to do with your rewards. That's all I'm going to say tonight. The crown has to do your reward. And when do those rewards come? They come right now in this life. And they come in the life to come, both. You get rewards, you see, from serving the Lord in this life and the life to come. And the Lord spoke about this in the Gospels. He talked about rewards in his kingdom. And he says his disciples, his 12 apostles, would rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said that any faithful disciple who would forsake all and follow him and stick with the sacrifice to keep following him, he said, listen, you'll receive 100-fold in this life for whatever you give up, 100-fold back. And in the life to come, you will be abundantly blessed. And yet, I warn you tonight, don't let anybody discourage you away from staying with your getting your crown. Don't let anybody take your crown from you. Have you ever seen football? How many of you watch football? All the men, no women raise their hand here. Maybe one or two. You watch football, and you see a receiver, and the quarterback throws him a pass. He catches the pass, and what is he doing? He's running for the football. The defense is like flummoxed. Oh, no! Look what's happening. Or the quarterback hands the football off or laterals the football. The runner takes the ball. He's breaking for a big run. He's going down the field, man. He's going to make a touchdown. And what happens? To try to turn the whole thing around. What does the defense do when they're desperate and they want to turn it around? One of the men, come on, help me with this. What is the tactic? I'm going to get Bob because I watched the Super Bowl with him and watched my team, the Eagles, for that time. Amen. I still like those Eagles.
Strip the ball.
Strip the ball! And that's exactly what the Lord is saying. Don't let anybody strip your football. You're making progress. You're making gains. And sometimes you look at it and you get discouraged. I go out on bus ministry on Saturday and I'm all discouraged every Sunday if I don't see what I want to see or what I expected to see from the work. But you need to have to understand your rewards are not necessarily immediate. You have to wait. You have to water. Sometimes you're picking fruit. It happens like Peter on Pentecost. That happens. And I praise the Lord for that. But you need patience. Hebrews said you need patience, that after having done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Don't stop praying, beloved. Don't stop praying. Don't stop giving the gospel. Don't stop serving God. It will be rewarded. And that's what he's saying there. Don't let discouragement of a lack of immediate results, don't let that discourage you. I like what Dr. Ware used to say. I've used it many times. It's like a person planting a garden. You know, springtime's going to come. Some of you are going to want to plant some seeds, and you get in there late May or whenever they do it, and you plant the seed, and let's say you plant the seed, and you water it, you go back the next day, it's not growing. You say, man. And you go back the next day, it's not growing. What is the growth? You go back the next day. So then you figure, there's something wrong here. And you dig up the seed. And it was just getting roots on it, and now you dug it up. It was just sprouting roots. And you dug it up, you know? It's like my poor mother with the cat. And then he said, take care of the cat. And my mother always is saying, where's that cat? Did it go outside? And she's not sure whether the cat went outside or not, you know. But you know, if you wait patiently long enough, that cat turns up, you know. That cat will turn up sooner or later. But anyway, you got to be patient sometimes. And God wants you to be patient and to stay with it. Amen? And I'll go home and Koji the cat will turn up. But we're not going to get discouraged. Amen? So stay with it. And I have found out over the decades, I've been pastoring now for 4.5 decades here, just about. And I found out that you need that patience, and you don't need to get stripped by getting discouraged. So we're talking about rewards. 2 John 8 says this: look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I remember years ago I was going to leave this church and I was going to start another church, and God said to me, "No, it's not time to go." I'm so glad when Brother Zukowski was thinking about leaving the church, going away to Bible college, he decided to stay here and do his Bible college here. And I believe he learned more and gets more blessed and is stronger than ever. I'm just saying that we need to be careful that we don't lose our reward. I'm saying tonight, listen, don't let any person take your crown. Number one, by looking at good examples to help you. By looking at good examples to help you. And I'm thinking of Brother Jose here. He's right on the front row. And I'll be honest tonight, and Brother Jose won't mind me using him as an example. One of the big things I saw about Brother Jose was that he was not living up to his potential at one time. And I said, this guy's got potential. This guy, God could use this guy. He's got potential. By the way, you each have potential. Right. And your potential is not by comparing yourself to somebody else. Your potential is, are you getting your full potential? You will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ and rewarded based on, are you living up to your potential? You're in competition with your own potential. And I'm saying that I looked at Brother Jose, I said, he's got way more potential than this. But he's not realizing his full potential. And so I thought to myself, that would be great. I prayed about it, asked God to bless. And a while back, he had gone to the youth pastor who, did you lead Jose to the Lord? And he led him to the Lord, and he trained him in soul winning on Thursday night. And he went to the youth pastor, and he got some counsel about a job. And if you just take it on a human level, Jose could have got a job that paid more money, right? And all of that, but he counseled him to get a job where he would be more available for ministry. And it was the perfect counsel. And then Brother Jose checked it out with me, and he's going to counsel with me. I hadn't talked to the youth pastor. And as he was talking, I was starting out to tell him, no, get this job with more money versus this. And I started out, that was my natural person giving him counsel, get this money. But wait a minute, it was like the Spirit of God got a hold of me and said, wait a minute, what does Jose Valley need to live up to his potential? And I told him to get this job. It was less money, but I knew it would free him up for more ministry. And guess what? It made a tremendous difference in Jose Valley's life. You see, don't let anybody, maybe they mean good to you, but they're not giving you God's best counsel. It could even be Satan using a Christian. He used Peter to get people saved, but he gave them the wrong counsel. And so I'm just saying, don't let anybody take your crown. And since Brother Jose has done that, he has got locked in, and he has been close to the youth pastor, and he went through soul winning training, got that mug with the 2 question marks, and now he's able to be a trainer. Praise the Lord for that. God's given him open door. God gave him an open door to be a Sunday school teacher. God gave him an open door where he went from trainee to trainer now in soul winning, and get this, he's now a bus worker. And not only this, he's had an open door to get into youth ministry to assist the youth pastor in that. And when Matt left, he took over and acted as a bus captain. to help. You say, what's going on here? He's going through open doors. And he's not letting anybody take his crown. And yesterday when I was out with him, as we got ready to finish up our day, I looked at him. I said, basically, I didn't say these exact words, but Jose, you're on the right track, man. Don't let anybody mess it up. Don't let anybody spoil it. And I want to say that to you tonight. If you're on the right track, don't let anybody mess it up. Don't let anybody spoil it. Don't let anybody sidetrack you by looking at good examples. And I give you that example. And the Lord said that with future rewards, they're going to come into your life. You're going to get future rewards as you take advantage of sacrifice and serving the Lord today. I must say, I feel like I'm just getting addicted to the ministry. Amen? Just addicted to the ministry. And it's a good addiction. You're going to be addicted to something. Amen? You're going to either have a bad addiction or you're going to have a good addiction. I'd rather have you have a good addiction. And it's wonderful. It'll keep you out of trouble. It will give you opportunities that you'll serve the Lord, and it will keep you away from people that are going nowhere and they're going to lead you nowhere. And so it's so important to go in the right way. And it's not always somebody going nowhere. It could be somebody doing good, but it's not the best, and it's not what God wants for your life. And I'm thinking of Brother Matt here tonight that I remember when Brother Matt finally got locked in, and he got locked in with Three to Thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. And then he got locked in with four more to win the war. And he got involved in soul winning. He got involved in bus ministry outreach. And God blessed him. And thank God for that. He had people around him that were not bad people. But they were not necessarily locked in. But Matt didn't look to others. He looked to the Lord. And he said, this is what God wants me to do. By the way, look to the Lord. No person died for you. You look to the Lord and you follow the Lord. You say, but my wife doesn't want me to go this fast. Don't hang your wife. Not literally. Follow the Lord. My husband doesn't want me to go that fast. Well, don't hang him. But you know what I'm saying. Put the Lord first in your life. You look to the Lord. And by the way, you look to the Lord. You do what God wants you to do. Guess what? People might follow you as you follow the Lord. They might look to you as a good example. In fact, maybe you are being a good example, and somebody keeps trying to pull you away from church. I know they try to pull Matt away, but it's not working.
Amen.
He just keeps coming.
Amen.
He just keeps coming. Why? I believe the Lord's helping him do that. And not only that, then he not only came to church, then he got involved. And Matt is somebody, as I've said it before, you know, he doesn't just jump right on some. You plant the seed, you let it lay there, and the Lord will work on him. And he got involved in bus ministry, became a bus captain. Then he became a Sunday school teacher, not necessarily in that order. And then he became, he's teaching gym in our Christian school. And interesting, when he was gone, Jose taught gym. He had a good time. And he taught gym in our Christian school, preached in our chapel now. And all of that. But you know, that didn't just happen automatically. When Matt first came here, he had, before he got saved, he had drugs affect him. And it affected him. You know, drugs put you in contact with the devil. And it's a difficult thing. And it messed with his mind. And Matt was in the psych ward. He was at a point where I wouldn't let him near the Christian school. Because he wasn't stable of mind at that time. He knows that. But God did a work in his life. And he's able to let me talk about that and his weakness, because he wants Christ glorified in his life. And you can follow that good example, you see. It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for these others, he'll do for you. And I have many other examples, but I'm just saying, you choose to be encouraged by good examples. And so the Lord, don't forget this, the Lord says Don't let anybody take your crown. You need to take heed, 2 John says. There'll be people, could be a husband, could be a wife, could be a family member, could be a friend. I don't know. It could be, as I say, adult children sometime will pull older people away. Don't let anybody take your crown. You stay with it and stay faithful, and that's number one. Only 2 points tonight. Don't let any person take your crown by looking at the good examples. Number two, I do have 3 points, I'm sorry. Number two, by avoiding bad examples. By avoiding bad examples. Let no man take your crown. You know, Abraham had Lot hanging around him, and Lot followed him. And when Abraham backslid, he went down to Egypt, Lot went with him, right? And when Lot went down to Egypt, do you know what Lot got? An Egyptian appetite for money, for things, for glory. It's very easy if you hang around people that they want to get rich in this world, and that's what they're after, then you may become rich in this world. And Lot did become rich, but he lost out. By the way, I'm not a health and wealth gospel person. I'm not a Benny Hinn gospel person either. I'm not into that. What I'm after is following the Lord. And if he gives you money, that's fine. But you don't cling on to it. You know, like Polycarp, if he gives you your life, fine, but you don't cling on to it. You know, you're ready to give it up for the Lord because he'll always reward it. He'll richly reward. Great is your reward, right? When you go through those kind of sufferings for him, you've got a reward. Now, the devil will tell you, oh, you don't have a reward. You're just a loser. This isn't. That's the devil. He's trying to discourage you. You're going in the right direction if you're doing these things. And so avoid the bad examples like Lot, because what happened to Lot? Lot got rich. Abraham was rich. Lot said, man, we can't be together. We're always having our herdmen are fighting each other. And Abraham said, you make a choice. You go this way. I'll go that way. You go. And Lot made a bad choice. And he went towards Sodom. And the rest is history. He got into Sodom and lost his family. He lost a lot of, he lost everything. And that can happen to a believer. You can lose everything. So at the judgment seat of Christ, your whole life is going to burn. There'll be no rewards. I don't want that. 2 Peter 1 says, we need to look for an abundant entrance into his everlasting kingdom. Not just squeak through, but to gloriously go in. And it's offered to you tonight. God wants you to be richly rewarded, not with your own strength. You don't have to be strong. You say, Pastor Bloom, he's strong. He's up there. No, I'm as weak as they come. I get my strength from him. And when you see me up here, it's God's strength. It's not my own. And that's what I'm pointing you to. And I'm saying avoid the bad examples like Lot. Avoid the bad examples like Demas. The Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you know we have people that are forsaking people? They're forsaking people. I had Alex. Alex was here this morning. And thank God for Alex. Amen. Alex, I asked him if he would be my soul winning partner. And for 3 straight weeks, Alex has been there. Alex comes out to Saturday morning men's prayer meeting many times. He comes out to Sunday school. He comes out to morning service. And he is such a blessing. And I was out with Alex, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, that's the greatest feeling there is. When somebody gets saved, that's the greatest feeling there is. And we led people to the Lord up in Bangor Heights, you know, and we led people to the Lord up in Mayfield. And he sees that. And Alex loves the Lord, and he's being blessed by that. And he's also in Joe's class, and he's learning the lessons, and he's participating. Listen, you better watch out. Don't let somebody else take your crown. Don't let some young upstart take your crown. I'm older, but I'm not letting anybody take my crown. I'm going to hold out of my crown. And I know Brother Eric feels that way. And that's the way you ought to feel. Don't just say, well, that's all right. I'm glad somebody else is doing it. Now I can retire. Well, okay. Then they'll take your crown. They'll take your reward. You see, that's what we don't want. We want the blessing of serving the Lord. There's no greater thing than serving the Lord. There's no greater thing than investing in Jesus. There's no greater investment of your time, of your treasures, of your talents that God has given you. It'll never be a waste, you know. It won't be wasted. But if you give it to yourself and you give it to the devil, because when you're doing what you want to do, you're going to waste your life and be a loser. And I don't want to do that. And so Demas, you know, he left the Apostle Paul and he went down there to a church. Church history tells us, that's what I've heard from our former pastor, and it was one of these wishy-washy type churches, amen, and not going anywhere and not doing any things. And by the way, I am against the crowd that says there should not be church membership. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I'm against the crowd that says there should not be church membership. Listen, get in or get out, get on or get off. I am in, and those that are in, and when you get saved, you need to get baptized. And that's not just a little sprinkle on you, you need to be dunked under the water and pulled back up. I took a Catholic man here one time, he was an attorney, he was helping our church. He says, man, you guys, when you baptize, you dunk them right under the water. I said, that's right. You know, it's all out for Jesus. You put on that uniform. And then when you get saved and baptized, you're to be dunked into the church. Just like you're immersed into the body of Christ, you're to be immersed in the local church. And that's how you participate. But there are folks that don't do that. And listen, here's what the Bible says. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Well, what is it talking about? It's talking about deacons. Who are deacons? They're deacons in the specific church at Philippi. And how about the people that I just read at Philippi, it says that they are bishops. What are bishops? Superintendent of the spiritual program of Philippi. And they're overseeing the people of Philippi who are members of that church. That's why Paul, when he went to Ephesus, he said in Acts, he said that I'm speaking to the elders or pastors and I'm speaking about the flock, listen, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. In other words, each pastor has a specific flock. That's why in Acts 2:41, they got saved, they got baptized. It said there were added unto them. And it gave the numbers. The Bible gives numbers. There's a number in the book of heaven of the role that's in heaven. I heard a guy say one time, you're in the Church of Rome, you're still there in the Vatican. You know, well, I don't know about that. In our church, you become a member when you join and you make that commitment. And I'm saying to you, if you don't join a church, you are kind of like a person that is not in a family. You know, you have a husband and a wife and a family. My wife has joined herself to me and we're a family. And you get into the family of God, and God raised up the family, raised up the church. And if you don't have that, what you're going to have is you're going to have a situation in which there is no discipline. We have discipline in the church. Now, a lot of people don't believe in that. By the way, if you're in a church, you're not supposed to sue one another. Did you know that? If you're a member of the church, you don't sue somebody for money. You settle it in the church and have wisdom in that. We're going to deal with that when we rule over the world. If we can't even do that, we got to go to the unsaved. No, the Bible says that's a shame. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when you're in the local church, there's discipline. Our church, discipline. What does that mean? The person can't take the Lord's table. By the way, if you're not a member, you don't take the Lord's table. It's a local church ordinance. You need to be a member of a church because, you see, God wants things done right. God wants things done decently and in order. And so you commit and you're a member of the church. And we're praying for Christian Hall. He's still on church discipline. You shouldn't be hanging around with somebody on church discipline because you love them and you want them to get right. And be restored to active membership in the church. Tara Specker, same thing. And be restored. But these folks that it fits in with the Laodicean age, that they don't want to join a church. But yet, what happens in a situation like that, I'll be like a bee and pollen this flower and then put my pollen on that flower. And they skip around to this meeting and that meeting. And they go over here. And then they're over here with those lady preachers. And then they're over here with this and that. Listen, don't follow that example. Follow the example of somebody that is locked in and is a member of the local church and is clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. And if you don't listen to my counsel, that's fine, but you'll lose rewards. You'll lose rewards. And I speak on the authority of the Word of God. You know, I'm called to pastor a church, to be the head pastor of a local church. And I know my calling, and I know what God wants me to do. And I'm going to give an account for what I preach. I'm going to give an account for what I teach. I'm going to give an account, you see. And so I remember I had a teacher in Bible college. Actually, it was seminary. When I went to seminary, get my master's, I had a teacher who was a pastor for many years. His name was R. Matthews. His last name was Matthews. He was an older man, a man of great experience. And I've shared it many times. He told us, and I never forgot it, he said, God didn't call me to be the dictator over the church. He just called me to make sure nobody else was. Selah. You see, in the vacuum of pastoral leadership, there's always going to be somebody leading you. But where are they going to lead you? You're better to deal with God's authority and what God has set up. And that's what I did when I was in a church. When Dr. Ware was here, did I agree with everything Dr. Ware taught and preached? No, but I did not counter-teach him. And tried to get his members and pull. No, he's going to give an account for that. And if it got enough disagreement, then I'd have to go somewhere else where I did agree. But get yourself locked in somewhere. Fit in somewhere and do something for God. I'm saying, don't let anybody take your crown by looking at good examples and then by avoiding examples that are not the best. And then make sure that you get that straight. You know, I think about Azusa Street. Some people are excited about Azusa Street, but Azusa Street happened in 1917, and that was right at the time, Azusa Street happened right at the time that the Laodicean era began to break on the church. I had a lady come up to me. She said, somebody took me to a meeting. They were speaking in tongues. And she said, but I've been taught in the Word of God that tongues were a foreign language. It was a foreign language that the person hadn't learned, but they could speak it. And I said, that's right. That's the first mention in the book of Acts, and it follows all the way through. It's a foreign language. And it also is the sign of the apostles. And you know, the apostles spoke in these foreign languages that they didn't learn. And they could pass that on to others during the apostolic era. You say, well, why was that, Pastor? Because read your Bible. Isaiah said to the Jewish nation, if you do not repent at the preaching of Isaiah, I am, and you don't accept it, I am going to send people with a foreign language, and you're going to hear a foreign tongue, and they are going to kill your babies, and they're going to rape your women. They're going to come into your land, speak in a foreign language you can't. It's a sign, listen to me, of judgment on the nation of Israel. That's why the apostles, one of the great reasons why they had the revelatory sign gifts and the gift of tongues. And that was what they did. And they spoke in these foreign languages they hadn't learned. And that was a sign to the nation of Israel, not only in Israel, but throughout the Roman Empire where Paul went. And I'm just saying to you that is what we're talking about here. And it's interesting, my best friend, Gary, was a Assembly of God church guy. And I was in a Protestant church, a Sardis-type church. And I'm telling you, it was kind of, they had the gospel, but it was on ice. And it was boring to me. Gary's church was exciting. I went there, and there were people, they were all excited, and whoa, 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 whoa. And I went there with Gary, and we hung out, and I told my parents, I said, this is great. I love this church. This is great church, and all that. I want to have the revelatory. I want to speak in the tongues. I want to do it all. I went to the meetings. I did everything for quite a long time. But I'll tell you this. I did not grow spiritually in that church. Through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I did not grow spiritually like I should. And I got into a Baptist church in Muskegon, Michigan, where a man preached and taught what the apostles left behind.
Amen.
The Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Listen. You stick with the local New Testament church. And I'm just saying to you, you know, I do, you know, there are people that are very confused. Catholic charismatics, you know, you think about the Catholic charismatics, and they're very confused people. They're like I was. They're in dead churches. They're looking for life, amen? But they're looking for it in all the wrong places. You got to get, this word is alive. The Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's a sharp two-edged sword. I pray, Pastor, I pray, God, when I preach, give me a sharp two-edged sword that will cut. And we need that. And so don't let any person take your crown by looking at good examples, by avoiding examples that are not the best. You need the best. I've been holding that out to you. And one more point, by remaining a good example. By remaining a good example. Listen, people need people who are doing what the good examples are doing. And you could be that for somebody else. And God wants you to be that and to stick with it and remaining a good example. In other words, beloved, do not quit. I have people, it breaks my heart, and you know it breaks your heart. They quit. They're on the right track. They're going the right way. But some man has taken their crown and they quit. Or they've let somebody take their crown. And they just get sidetracked from the best. Listen to me. The good is the enemy of the best. I want the best. I want the best. And I want it for you. Don't let anybody sidetrack you. Don't let the devil discourage you. Thank God for stubborn, hard-headed Jesus. Amen. Who set his face like a flint.
Amen.
And he did the best. And he hung on that cross and died and completed his course. And he did it in weakness, but the power of God raised him from the dead. He's at the right hand. He sent the Holy Spirit. And he is available to fill you every moment of your life so you could be a Christ-like example. And I could be. And he's available through prayer for the power to witness. Just because you have that power doesn't mean every time everybody's going to get saved. There'll be times, but don't quit.
Amen.
Stay with it.
Good.
Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. Praise the Lord. Listen to